Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You could text the show also at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, all over the place. My kind of hour. Didn't really like lock into one thing. It's also Local Music Tuesday, so all the music you hear, except for your usual things, such as the opening to the hour, or the outro to the first segment, or the gem of the day.
Or Jerome.
All local bands and local artists we'll be highlighting every Tuesday, and because there's a ton of talent in this city, and we just want to let people hear who's out there. Kind of wrap up the last topic there, since I laugh at people when they look down on trades jobs. I'm a rig mechanic, and he makes a good chunk. And
of
listen,
course.
Guys, this is a point I was trying to make, and I hope I was clear about it. Education doesn't mean you have to go get a piece of paper from a university. If you do, that's great. You should be proud of that. But yeah, education also means learning a really good job where you make a lot of money that other people can't do. And college to me was a means to an end, because at the time they wouldn't hire you at the Chronicle unless you had a degree.
Yeah, there was a time when a lot of people wouldn't.
And somebody asked, would you hire somebody at SportsMap without a degree? I'm like, absolutely, if they could do the job. If they can come in and do all the things, if they've interned with us, for instance, and learned a bunch of stuff and could do all the things we need them to do, absolutely. Now, they're not going to make a six-figure salary doing it. Need to know that going in. But yeah, I hope...
But you know what? There's a lot of guys in fact, I don't think that Barry has finished college. Barry Laminate.
Yeah, and he was doing really well in oil and gas. And,
yeah, like in IT. You can make a lot of money if you're a smart enough dude.
Well, you should have saved that for 7 minutes.
I know, it's a fact. Barry made a really good, he made a six-figure salary without a college degree and doing a cush job. I mean, not a cush like it's easy, but a job where it was air conditioned, not out breaking rocks or something. So, I mean, you honestly can make six figures without a college degree. If you learn the right skills and you work hard enough to be good at it.
And yeah. And that's the thing. I think we just misrepresent education, because education isn't just your formal education. To me, it's learning something about what you're doing every single day that you're doing it.
Well,
and getting better at it and getting to the point where not many people can do your job.
So for me, to me, education was, in my mind, it was always going to be really important. And so a lot of the classes, like my basic classes and stuff, I took when I was in the Army. Like, I remember I was scheduled to go off to Ranger school, and I had foot surgeries and got basically delayed. And so I'm sitting there on crutches. I can't do anything really. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? Oh, how about this? I'll just spend the next 5 months or whatever just going to school and, racking things up. And that's just how I always saw it. If I had a chance to learn something, I would just try to learn it. Does any of it do me any good now? Not one bit. But I do think there is something to learn, and whether it's in a school, whether it's a trade, anytime you've got an opportunity to pick something up instead of sitting on your ass and playing video games and watching TV, do it.
Well, and even just continuing education in your field.
Yeah.
If you've got some spare time, it's never a bad thing. And 281 says entrepreneurship isn't dead either, Fred. You don't need a degree to open a business. No, you don't. I mean, it's good to have some training. But, you know, somebody brings up a good point. The gym of the day is technically local music.
That's right. Thank you.
713-780-ESPN. And speaking of which, somebody who texted in the show says, I don't know when Hey Man Bleep That comes on. It's the last segment of the show. But what you texted in, I'm not going to tell anybody because
that's yours?
That's my Hey Man Bleep That. That and some other things related to it.
So you did good.
So, yeah, very good. And, you know, a lot of people tell me how well they're doing. So, and, you know, that's the thing. The main thing is just get something you're good at. We can make enough money to live your life and have fun. I mean, that's the only reason we work. The reason you work is so you can play. That's it. And fortunately, we get to play at our work, which is a rarity, and I'm happy with that. But that's it. You know, nobody ever went and took a job just because, you know, well, I feel like I don't want to make enough money. Nobody ever did that.
Nobody?
No.
Weird.
I'm sure there's people who do like social work and stuff that planned on being poor.
Probably.
Knowing that they were going into that.
I feel like school teachers, you should know.
Yeah, you pretty much have to know that, okay, if I'm going to teach, then...
I agree that school teachers aren't paid enough for what they do, but if you're a school teacher and like 7-8 years in, you're like, God, school teachers really don't get paid very much. It's like, yeah. That's always been the case.
And, you know, I don't know if he'll be happy about me talking about this, but my brother was a teacher for a long time. And he wanted to stay in education, but he wanted to make more money. So he went back to school and got all the degree stuff he needed from UH to become a principal.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's still involved, but now he's in the administrative side, and he makes a good salary. Now, is it a good enough salary for what he does? No, but you can make a good living doing that. But he went and put in the extra work to do it, and you can always do that. It's never too late. Doesn't matter how old you are. Like, you know what I would do if I got fired tomorrow? I'd probably go finish law school for my half semester of law school.
Hmm.
And yes, I don't know if I'd have to borrow money for it, but I'd figure out a way to pay for it. But yeah, I'd go do law school and start over and be a lawyer. And I think it's never too late to do something else, but
I don't know what I would do, honestly. I'd figure something out. But
you almost became a U.S. Marshal once.
Yeah, but now I'm too old for that, I think.
Yeah, well, but you'd find something else.
Yeah.
But the reality is you don't have to, and... You know,
well, yet.
I pretty sure you're okay here.
Okay.
So 713-780-ESPN. Jesus asks, what are the chances of the Avalanche advancing in the playoffs? They looked good last night. Calgary's still a better team, but I have to say the goaltending for Calgary is so spotty. They're like San Jose. They're capable of having really crappy games. So yeah, I don't know if the Avs have enough depth to beat this team in 7 games, but they're up 2-1. So you get to 2-1, you can get to 4 wins. Squeeze in a call real quick. James, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
We're doing sports, man. What's up?
I'm a 6th grade teacher, math teacher, and I was just happening to be getting off work when I heard y'all start talking about it, and I couldn't agree more. I feel like the administration, everything, they kind of want to gear you towards pushing them towards college with so many of these kids. It's almost like setting them up for failure when they have all these amazing talents that they could be using that don't require a 4-year college. And I think opening that avenue would be great. And I just wanted to chime in that I totally agree with what you guys are saying. And this is coming from a teacher.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, not only are guys who have skills that they could, you know, they could get a trade job are being pushed towards college. There's guys who, honestly... And I think I'm one of them. And listen, I wasn't a dummy in high school. I did pretty well in school. I was always all right. I could have gone to college straight out of high school. I didn't want to, so I went to the military. A lot of guys don't have the option to go to college, so they go to the military. But I'm telling you now, a lot more of these guys who have the grades to go. Barely, you're better served going and doing 4 years in the military, your life will be better from those 4 years in the military than they will from you, you know, maybe graduating with some BS degree, you know, 5-6 years down the road. I'm just telling you, it opens up a lot of doors, and not everybody is built for college. Not everybody is. And typically...
Well, but that's where we've got to get away from this stigma that... Yeah, it's, oh, you're not good
enough
for college.
You're not an educated man.
Right,
that's
bull bleep. Yeah. Some of the smartest people I know, I'll tell you, my father-in-law, I think, had a sixth grade education. He's one of the smartest businessmen I've ever been around. He built a small farm in Saskatchewan into a freaking monster and makes more money in retirement now than he did even when he was running the farm. And I mean, I guarantee you, it's like, I always talk about how I love to have conversations with David Gow about business. I love to just pick his brain because he knows so much stuff about things that you would never think of that can translate into the businesses that I'm involved with. And, you know.
He went to Harvard.
Well, not I'm talking about David Gow. I'm talking about my father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. You know, he's just this old guy from Saskatchewan who built a gigantic farm.
Yeah.
But he also ran a multi-million dollar business doing it. And he's just, you would never know. That he don't, and plus, he keeps up with everything. He reads everything. Yeah. You never know. The guy only had a sixth grade education, maybe seventh. I don't know. But he stopped going to school to help his dad run the farm, and then built it into
Made
a monster.
Something out of it.
Yeah, and you know what? You talk about a guy with no regrets. He's basically taking care of his next two generations of family.
Doesn't your father-in-law have a tattoo that says "No Regrets"?
No, he does not have that.
Oh. That'd be cool if he did. All right, guys, here, another option besides a four-year school, my computer career. If you want to get into IT, there's only one school focused only on getting people into IT careers for over a decade. It's my computer career. Training to start an IT career is all they do. It's all they've ever done nationwide. You don't need to go to some Johnny-come-lately school the degree you get here could lead to an IT job. This is what they do. They start you from scratch, and they get you a job. It takes months, not years, even with zero experience, because helping people start an IT career is what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. All the skills, all the certifications you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school because they're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take that free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. You better look that up, Aaron. That sounds good, though.
That is the very, very boom. Songs can't break me.
Beaumont Band.
Nice. Yeah, I'm really happy we're back to doing this. And for all you guys who are out there grinding in bands, you know, send us your stuff. We'll get you on air. This is Fred. I'm a former pro ball player with Oakland. Long story short, got hit by a drunk driver that took me out of my career. Now I run my own tech business that is associated with nutrition and fitness. Sometimes you plan on doing life your way, but when things happen, learning how to adjust is the key. Man, that's another thing. And, you know, you guys all make fun of me for being an old, but when I was in high school, I never envisioned sitting here doing a radio talk show.
No.
That was not the plan. You know, well, at the time when I was 18, the plan was to be a rock star. Well, that didn't work out. And then the plan was, okay, I'm gonna go to school. I'm gonna get my journalism degree. I'm gonna work part time and work part time at the Chronicle, which turned into full time while I was going to school. And you know, maybe at some point I'll write novels.
Yeah.
And that was gonna be the goal. And then that evolved into a career. And then, but yeah, when you look back, and you guys are young enough now, you don't have to worry about it right now. But there's times you look back and there's these little decisions that you make. Or things that push you in a certain way, and you'll wind up exactly where you're supposed to be. And that's I mean, I couldn't be in a better place because now I get to do all that stuff that I wanted to do. You know, eventually we're going to have our band put together and we're going to play, and I'll get to do that. And I'm writing novels and I'm having fun every day from 4 to 7, and I'm lucky as hell to do it. And I know that, but there were a lot of tough turns, and there was a lot of times where, you know, at one point I really thought I was going to just work in journalism for the rest of my life, until I realized journalism might not be here for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And so I had to make some changes. And then I thought I was going to be a poker pro, and that didn't work. But, you know, it's sometimes you're going to get curveballs thrown at you, and sometimes you're going to swing and miss. But guess what? You'll get another at bat.
Maybe.
Sometimes. So, but I do think, I wish people realize that there does seem to be this almost, well, I went to school and got this degree, and now I have student debt. And it's like, I feel bad because, and listen, I've softened my stance on that a little bit because I know it was cheaper when I went to school and I was able to pay for it. I probably couldn't on that salary now, but I do think it needs to be more affordable. Now, you guys who want it free, no, I'm against that.
Yeah.
But I think it should be more affordable. But, you know, there's also, you know, it's like, I feel like sometimes people just feel like they have to get a degree because their parents want them to, or because society tells them to, when there's some damn good jobs out there that would work for you too. And that, you know what? A lot of those people are just as smart as you are, if not smarter. Somebody knows, any way we can tweet the complete band lineup for today? Yeah, you'll do that at the end of the show. So we'll take care of you. And, you know, I just respect anybody who's out there working and who wants to work. And if you can enjoy what you're doing and while you're doing it, that's great too. God's Green said, that's only because radio guys talked differently back then. I don't know, man. I was, when I was growing up, like, my favorite guys were like Moby on 101 KLOL. And then later it was Outlaw Dave, and I know Outlaw Dave's still running around town somewhere.
Moby, like, you talking about the guy, like the bald techno guy?
No. He was a long-haired dude that did mornings on 101.
Oh.
And this is before all you guys' time. I don't know where he is now, if he's even still alive. But, and then Stevens and Pruitt, which I've run into those guys occasionally too now, which is kind of cool because I grew up listening to them. But I never thought I'd do that. It's just never something that crossed my mind until John Granato told me he thought I'd be good at it when I left the Chronicle and that I should come work at 1560.
Yeah, that was Wally Lynn for me. I never even thought about doing radio. I never even listened to sports radio before I started doing this.
I listened to John and Lance for years.
Yeah, I did not.
And well,
I'd never even listened to Jim Rome. And Jim Rome was like, when I got into radio, was
phenomenal.
Like, he was the sports radio god. And I'd never even heard his show.
I'd listened to it some, but John and Lance, and then I got to know the guys because, obviously Lance did some stuff for us on the Chronicle website. And what I saw then was that radio had a better future than newspapers, and so I wanted to tap into that and get those guys into the newspaper business. And so we used Lance for a lot of stuff, and you know, got to know John real well. I was a guest on his TV show a few times, but you know, I never thought I'd do that until he suggested. At that point, I was pretty desperate because you know I had a good chunk of money that, well, divorce can
it's a hell of a thing, isn't
and so I kind of needed a job, and I'd been offered a sports editor job out of state for more money than I'd been making, and I didn't want to be, my kids were still pretty young at the time, and I didn't want to be away from them. Yeah. And so I figured I had to find something here until they were at least old enough to take care of themselves. And you know what? I'm glad I did. It all worked.
You want to talk to the people?
Let's talk to the people.
Trin? Hey, sports.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing sports, man. What's up?
Hey, man, I'm a high school teacher, and I just want to chime in a little bit of this education piece you guys are doing.
All right.
First of all, I really appreciate what you guys are saying about education, you know. And, you know, I tell my students all the time, I teach high school math, and I tell them all the time, like, hey, you know, you don't have to go to college to be successful. I got lucky in high school and found my wife, And that's why I continue to teach. I know I don't make a lot of money, but she makes enough money for both of us combined. And so I kind of stick with it because I enjoy my job. And, you know, I tell them, like, if anything you get out of this class is learning how to study, because that's a skill. You know, whether you're learning from a book or you're watching a video on YouTube, you got to go out and you got to translate that to what you're doing. So I just want to let you guys know that. I really do appreciate what you guys are saying about that.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I believe me, this wasn't on our...
It was not on our agenda for the day.
Yeah.
Is that Steezy? Stezzy?
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports to you, man.
Hey, I'm a teacher as well. You know, really appreciate you guys talking about this. It's awesome. I teach at a private school. Most of the kids I teach from a higher socioeconomic bracket. You know, the biggest thing I battle with these guys is the stigma that they have about not going to college and going into a trade. You know, unfortunately, they kind of stereotype the trade school as, you know, you're of a lesser intelligence or, you know, you're not worthy of going to college, so therefore you go to a trade school. And I battle that stereotype, and I just try to tell the kids I teach, you know, same thing that the last caller said. You don't have to be successful to go to college. You don't have to be successful. You don't have to go to college to be successful. There's so many different ways to have a productive, happy career. But most kids, especially more wealthy kids, they really do have this stigma about what a trade school is, and it's just a shame. Again, appreciate you guys talking about this, and that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who would rather have a $40,000 a year job with $100,000 of student debt than have a trade job that pays $150,000 a year. And because it's a status thing.
And that's part of the problem. And that's kind of what I was trying to bring up in the beginning is that, you know, that, I mean, why do we look at things that way? And growing up in Lamarck, everybody worked in the refineries.
Yeah.
And that was cool. And that's probably where I would have wound up if I hadn't have fallen into journalism. And guess what? I was around a lot of smart people and a lot of successful people. And nobody ever looked down or judged anybody on, you know, what they made there because they made good money. I guess I didn't really start experiencing that until I got to Houston. And there were people who would look down on, you know, oh, you went to Lamarck, you were going to work in a refinery. And I'm like, well, yeah. I didn't experience it until I was up here pretty much full time, I think. And you, there were people who looked down on it, and you're kind of like, okay, well, my family's doing pretty well. I don't think they're going to go home and cry because you said that. So let me get one more on real quick.
Yeah, we don't have time to get all you guys, I'm afraid, because we got Jerome coming up next. Let's get this other Jerome. What's up, Jerome? Turn your radio down, please.
Hey, guys. Great.
Hey, what's
great
up?
Great topic, guys. Hey, sports.
Sports to you, man.
Hey, first of all, AJ, man, I appreciate that that one comment you made about going to the armed forces for 4 years. I think it would do a lot of these kids a lot of good to go there first. If after they go to college, that would be great because it teaches them a lot of leadership skills. But
it'll also pay for your college.
Yes. Yes, that's a great point. You get to save up enough money to go to a university.
Yeah.
But
I was 17 when I graduated high school. You keep them on. I was 17 when I graduated high school, and I just didn't want to. I wasn't ready. I wasn't mature enough to think that I wanted to go to school. So once I was, I think I was like 19, maybe 20, when I started taking a bunch of classes while I was serving. But I mean, some people aren't mentally ready the day they graduate high school to go to college. It just doesn't work that way. So I was burnt out on it. I was burnt out on school.
Right, that's a great point. But also, a lot of these companies are looking for some of these kids to have some initiative, some leadership skills, and I think the armed forces provides that for these kids. But one, let me just say, I'm not a teacher, but I know you guys had a bunch of teachers coming in right now. In my opinion, teachers, first of all, they're going to get a $5,000 raise here, I think, next year. But teachers, they get 4 months off now. Keep that in mind. They get two and a half months during the summer and then another month and a half throughout the year. So, I mean, where are you going to go to get a job, an entry-level position? I think next year they'll be making about $60,000 a year and 4 months off throughout the year. And I'll hang up and listen to you.
No, you could go. You can go roust about on an oil rig and do that. Get half the year off.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll just to your point, and a lot of kids aren't ready for college, and a lot of them do need to mature. And I think the armed forces are great for that. And we've had so many people come through here who are former military who, you know, at the time wouldn't have been ready to do a job, and they come in here and they do a great job.
When I got hired at Cumulus, I swear, I think Peter Remington, when I interviewed with him, much more impressed by me being a veteran than by me having the number one show in Austin. I don't think he really even cared about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it opens doors, man. It opens doors.
And listen, some people are ready to go right out of college or right out of high school. And I had to grow up really fast because I had divorced parents and I had to help take care of my brothers. And so at that point, I was mature enough to go to school, and it was the right path for me. But if it had gone a different way, man, if it had been two years sooner when all I wanted to do was get high and be a rock star, yeah, you know what? 4 years in the military might have done me good before I went to college. But all right, guys. Well, tell you what. You know what feels great? Paying off your high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving money. Who would not want to do that? Well, guess what? You can refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can get a fixed rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000. How about this? No fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. So, listen, if you got good credit and you just want to save some money, believe me, I don't know what your credit card rate is. It's probably around 18% minimum. It's not 6.14. And LightStream's a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Nothing like getting all of that in one payment, so you don't even have to worry about it. And if you want to save even more, Blitzers can get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred, LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Fred for more information.
ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. That caller pissed off a lot of teachers. Says between in-service and mandatory training, they maybe get a month off in the summer after working 10-hour-plus days and usually sometimes on the weekends during school year.
Uh-oh.
Listen, that there is
teacher on non-teacher crime.
Yeah. No, Jerome, is that? Jerome, okay. Jerome Solomon? Paging Jerome Solomon? Listen, a lot of teachers don't get that much time off. And I can't speak, I can speak a little bit to high school, but like when I was teaching at San Jack, I could have worked the summers if I wanted to. I chose to take them off. But there's a lot more than, you don't get the full 3 months. There's stuff you have to do. There's continuing education. There's all kinds of things. All right, let's go to the phone lines with the star of the Houston Sports Show. He's a writer for the Houston Chronicle. He's a Twitter troll. Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. What's up, buddy?
Why I got to be a troll?
For including me on that way out of context tweet on Sunday.
I knew you would appreciate the joke part of it.
Oh, it was funny. It was funny.
That's why I ignored your reply.
Of course you did, because, you know,
that's what a proper troll would do.
Exactly. So, well, let's start with that. How cool was that to see and how big is this for golf now too? Because I wouldn't have watched if Tiger wasn't in it, and now I'll be interested in the next major and the one after that.
It's a sad thing for golf in some ways, because it's been this way for what, 15 years now. I mean, that unless Tiger's involved, there's a good percentage of people who are just not that interested. And the next wave of young star golfers, they waved and they kept on going. You know, where was Jordan Spieth the other day? He was waiting on Tiger, so he congratulated him when he finished.
And miss a 2-foot putt, yeah.
Yeah, it's all Tiger, and it's been that way for a long time. For big-time golf people, you know, it's sad for the sport. But for fans, it's great because now you've got something else to watch. I mean, we went many years where we weren't even watching golf as much as we used to. I used to be able to tell you the top 20 players in, you know, on the tour because I knew Tiger was one and I could name the other 19. Now I could get close and name some of them, but, you know, I don't know what they've won because we're not paying attention to this the same way. So, but it'll be huge, and it'll just be a run of a couple of years of whatever Tiger brings to the game, but it's still not going to have the effect on people really jumping into golf like golf thinks it deserves to be.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'd never heard of Xander Shifley until Sunday when I'm watching the tournament.
Man, until the back nine on Sunday. if you'd put me on a trivia contest and this Xander Shifley was a real person or a character, I would have gone with a character in some sitcom or something. I had no idea.
Yeah, if you'd gone male golfer, female golfer, food, I'd taken food. So.
Pretty much, yeah, and that's kind of the way it is. I mean, it's but it's, I mean, it's exciting, and it's exciting because people who don't even care about golf will watch Tiger Woods play. It's just that's just the way it is.
Jerome Solomon, our guest, did you get a chance to see the Warriors meltdown last night?
No, I did the 30 points. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I gave up at about 25.
I did too. Exactly what I did.
And I not only did I give up at 25, I was almost mad at myself for even watching to the 25. I was like, why am I watching this mess? What's wrong with me? Am I this addicted to this? I have to watch it all the way through the end of the half when I could have just given up, you know, but I watched it. And then I was like, well, that's enough. And I was shocked like everyone else. It's, I mean, that's not one of those, that's why we watch sports, because we stop watching. That's not why we watch sports. But I wish I'd seen it now. It seems like it was pretty entertaining.
You think there's anything to see in any of the games tonight?
No, I mean, I think the playoffs are just too spread out.
Man, it is.
You know, and it just there's not a lot of intrigue, and you can get an upset here or there, but I would like it much more if these were 5-game series. You know, then you know a game like last night, for instance, the Clippers win that game. Do we have any doubt that they're going to lose the series?
No.
But make that the old-fashioned 2 out of 3. The 3-game series.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Now we're talking like, oh man, now this next game could be pretty serious. But no, not now. And so, yeah, this first round 7-game series, they do very little for me. Other than being a basketball fan and liking basketball, I don't get into them as who wins what. It's just the best team almost always wins them.
Well, I think you were one of the ones with us who were saying, don't worry about the Astros early on. Now they've won 9 in a row. Can you tell people to stop worrying about the Astros now?
Yeah, seriously. And I've actually started to do some research. I'm like, you know, how do you cover a team that's supposed to be good, that is good, that's going to be good, and we have a whole season of, well, they're good. I mean, like, what do you do?
I feel like we have to pick at things. Like, I'm like, well, it'd be nice to have a better third starter for when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Man, who are they going to bring in the sixth inning sometimes out of the bullpen? I mean, which one of those guys is going to really be great? Like, well, does it matter?
I mean, is it almost as uninteresting as when we knew the Astros had no chance to win?
No, it's not uninteresting. It's just difficult for us.
It's kind of uninteresting. I mean, they're a really good team, and nothing really matters until the playoffs.
And yeah, but
with the, when they were really bad, they were a really bad team, and nothing was going to matter until the offseason the next year, maybe.
That's
I mean,
true.
It's, so, it, I mean, to me, it's like the regular season baseball in Houston, unless that the, unless there's like a pennant chase or like there's a, and I don't think the Mariners are going to hang around all year.
No.
Unless there's some kind of team really pushing them. It's uninteresting to me because I know this team is good. And I mean, I'm excited for playoffs, but do I need to watch them play 162 games to say, okay, this team's pretty good? I don't need that. I know.
Yeah, I get your point, but it may be semantics, but uninteresting doesn't qualify because I'm very interested in Jose Altuve hitting 6 homers in 5 games.
Yeah.
And I'll be very interested in Gerrit Cole and Verlander going back to back with 11 strikeouts, and no walks, you know, and what they'll do after that. And, you know what I mean? So there'll be interesting moments and points and high points for individual players that does what they do. But as a team, I agree. It's not uninteresting. It's just, it's expected.
I think for what we do, it's hard. But just as a fan sitting back and watching those games, I've been having so much fun. You know, when they come back and beat the A's 9-8, you know, and in games like that, the ways they find to win, for me, that's fun to watch. Is it fun to try to figure out how to talk about them? No, but it's fun as a fan.
I'll even take you to task on that, Fred, about it being hard for us to figure out how to talk about them. That's not it. More specifically, we're not used to this. Every team who was supposed to be good from the city of Houston for the last 30 years has not been as good as they should have been. And given us real reason to have some fun with them or to dog them or to be mad at them or upset with them during the season, in the playoffs, this team is as good as it's supposed to be and is going to be as good as it is. And we can't do anything until October.
It's probably fair.
Nothing.
It's probably fair.
and that's because we're out of practice. We're not used to following a team that's doing what it's supposed to do. When's the last team, and I'll even stretch it out, when is the last team across the board that most people in Houston are interested in has ever lived up to the hype? What, the Vince Young and the Longhorns in 05? You know, I mean, that might be the closest we've gotten to where a team was supposed to be good and they actually were and did it. You know, so we're unaccustomed to this.
Smaller level, but I think Herman's UH team that beat Florida State probably lived up to it. They weren't supposed to be a championship team, but for that level, that accomplishment.
Yeah, but then they lost a big one. What was it? Navy got them, you know, so they weren't supposed to lose the Navy.
No, they lost they lost to UConn that year. Actually.
I mean, UConn.
That was when Greg Ward got hurt. And
Yeah, so even then.
But they still made it to a New Year's Day bowl for the first time since the
70s. And it was enjoyable. But just in general, we're not accustomed to covering a team who is meeting expectations. You know, most of them don't. And, now I'll take the opposite tack of it's only a few weeks into the season. But trust me, this is who they are. This is what they're going to do. Yeah, they're not going to go unbeaten.
No, but if they can just stay healthy, then there's no reason to expect that they're not going to continue to win at a really high level.
And I know I've been a cheerleader for them for way too long, but they're going to improve. They're not going to just rest on what they have. They're going to add somebody that will be like, wow, they went and got that guy, and that's kind of what they do. Michael Brantley, for instance, that's what they do.
Hey, do you you think now that Demaryius Thomas is a Patriot that he's going to be you know, he's going to be everything that the Texans thought he might be?
it's Houston, man. You know, we say that, but let's be fair. Bill Belichick takes a lot of swings and misses, you know, and he can afford to do it, and he. You know, we pay more attention to the hits because the hits mean championships, whereas everybody else is taking swings and misses, and their hits and their misses means they don't win at all. And so, he had to see something. Why would he go there, you know? So I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a difference for them, because most of the time they find players that do.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You can see him on Sunday nights on Houston Sports Show. You can read him in the Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. What do you got coming for this week's show? Do you have any big plans for us?
I don't even know yet. We're working on it. But obviously, it's first round of playoffs. Sunday's game, Sunday's show will be between games 3 and 4 out in Salt Lake. So we'll be pretty heavy on Rockets and NBA playoffs. But, it's always fun, always entertaining. We're going to send – if you're coming out to tomorrow night's game, look for Barry Laminack out there. He's out there doing some serious sports reporting outside of Toyota Center before the game tomorrow. So
that guy's an idiot.
If you
want to
be on TV, hunt him down.
All right, Jerome. Appreciate the time as always, my man. We'll talk again soon.
All right, fellas. Later.
All right. We need to go to break. When we come back, we'll have a gym of the day. Don't go anywhere.
Gym it up.
Gym of the day. Also, local music. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, guys. Sportify Expo, the largest sports fans expo in Houston, will be at the George R. Brown Center on April 27th and 28th. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and a guest to meet, take photos with, and get autographs from the top Houston Astros, Texans, UFC fighters, and other pros and legends at 557. Caller number 7 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the event. For more information and to get your tickets now, head to sportifyexpo.com. Also, check out sportsmap.com today. Lots of great stuff on there. And at some point during the show, I'll get Cody's story posted from he was out of Texans today, so he's got a lot of good stuff, and I will get that up hopefully on the next break. But I'm kind of in the middle of doing a radio show, so you can't always post things as quickly as you would like. But we've got JJ Watt video up, we've got Joel's column on where Houston ranks is with their pro sports teams, got a Palillo video, Jermaine has a you're not a real fan guy is a dumbass, which I kind of like. We got our soccer report and my Game of Thrones report that I posted last night that everyone seemed to like. So, all right, let's squeeze in a Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Oh, boy, I've got a couple to choose from. I'm going to go with the second one because probably not safe for children. So if your kid just sang the Gem of the Day song, might want to turn the radio down for just a second. But, I always say I'm cool with whatever people are into as long as it doesn't hurt other people and as long as it doesn't hurt animals. A businessman who filmed his girlfriend having sex with his dogs has been spared jail. Police raided his home and found 1,469 still images and 210 moving ones involving sexual acts with dogs and horses. And he appeared in court Friday and admitted to 2 counts of possessing extreme pornographic images. Two of the videos, it was readily apparent, involved a woman with whom the defendant had been in a relationship with. He said the woman had relations with his dogs and apparently encouraged by her, and he admitted he got sexual gratification from these films and watch them on a number of occasions.
I've always thought, how does it happen that the guys who did Columbine, for instance, how do they find each other? You find two people that are just that crazy that they randomly luck box into each other, and like Bonnie and Clyde. How does it happen? How did those two people find each other? The one woman in, maybe not the one woman.
www.sexwithanimals.com.
One of the very few women in this world, I imagine, who enjoys intercourse with beasts. And one of what I would assume are the few men who enjoy watching their partner being
intercourse with a beast,
used by a beast. I mean, it's just how does that magic come together? It's so odd to me that the most insane people are able to find each other in this great big world.
I tend to agree.
And I'm against that. I am against it. To that, I say nay.
Nay, man. Bleep that. Yeah. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Chase asked something that we get asked a lot. How close are your on-air personalities to your actual personalities? Do you ever feel like you have to ham it up? I hope not. I hope I'm the same person in public as I am on air.
I talk a lot more on air than I do in real life.
Sometimes I'm a little quieter in real life just because, you know, we talk so much on the show. Sometimes I feel like, you know, everybody knows everything about us, and so I'm more interested in what other people have to say. But no, I think it's the same. And yeah, there's times where I'll try to bring up stuff that's going to piss AJ off. But I do that all the time with my friends, too. So, you know, I try not to be any different. It's, you know, you have to be a little more professional. I cuss a hell of a lot more in my regular life.
Yeah.
I'm bad about that, and I know it. But every other word's an F-bomb. And I for some reason, I don't do it on air. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you about one bleeping good lawyer, my man, Lawyer Dave. And Dave, I got to tell you, I keep hearing from blitzers who say that you've done a good job for them. And I know you're...
That's just outstanding, Fred. And I'll say for the benefit of the listening audience that both you and AJ are legitimate good guys in private company as well. And yeah, you don't talk nearly as much, and yeah, you do drop a lot of F-bombs, but don't we all?
Yeah, well, that's true, but you can't do that in court, and I can't do that on the air, so there's that.
Oh, for sure, true. If somebody needs to go to court, they need to call me, 713-626-8900. We principally do stuff that pertains to people getting in accidents, all kinds of accidents, all kinds of situations. We've got, I don't know, 100, 200 people that were exposed to the benzene from the fire out at ISD. You know, we've got people that are involved in 18-wheeler accidents. We've got slip and falls where somebody got knocked, a woman got knocked down at a bar, darn near cut her finger off. I mean, these are the folks that come to me. Blitzers, we're a family, and I'm your family lawyer.
Yeah, you don't charge a dime for consultations, and you don't get, and if they need medical help, you help with that, and you don't get a dime unless they win, right?
People don't have money to get medical treatment that they really need. So we arrange for their treatment with no money up front. Similarly, like you just said, if somebody wants to consult with me, that's always free. And if there's something I can't help them with, I'll send them someplace.
And you take care of them all across the state, even over in Beaumont and the Golden Triangle, right?
You bet. In fact, I'm heading out to Baytown tomorrow to take some depositions. Yeah, blitzers, call me from anywhere. I'll help you. 713-626-8900.
Or on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law, or you can go to LawyerDave.com. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
And she'll be out there dancing while some stranger holds her tight. And I know I'll do something stupid, and she'll have something mean to say.
ESPN 97.5.